Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Within football, we have silos. And we've had some breakdowns in communication. And one of the things that that I really tried to do as I looked at it, you know, what would be the best way to improve communication, improve collaboration among people within our football operations, and how do you knock down those silos?
Welcome back. Those are the words of Mark Murphy, Packers president, when they were making the change, taking out Ted Thompson, putting in Brian Gutekunst, and joining us here in studio, Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider, and Mike, Tom Silverstein, as we had talked with Paul Emig a little bit earlier, now coming out with a piece that, you know, sources that are both inside the walls of 1265 and outside the walls of 1265 say that there are or could be some issues with this team. And look, some people dismissed what Tyler Dunn had to say. Others have dismissed the rumors, things that we say. Now you got Tom Silverstein writing articles about some of the things that may be going on back there. I said, look, where there's smoke, there's fire. Something's going on where it just it's not all kumbaya behind the walls of 1265 right now.
Well, Tom admits in his piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that he's covered the team for 30 years. He's a senior writer. He's one of the best in the country. But immediately when this was announced, he was scratching his head because he was there in the late 80s when it was still broken.
Right.
And that when Bob Harlan said, I'm going to get a guy like Ron Wolf with 20, 30 years experience already in the NFL, and he's going to run football. And we've got too many cooks in the kitchen. Let this guy run football. Let him have the decision on the roster, on how much they're going to pay these players, on the draft. He can keep me up to date on, yeah, we're going to trade around a first round pick and get this kid on the bench in Atlanta named Brett Favre. Make moves like that. We're going to bring in Reggie White and not let him leave town without me and Holmgren talking him into saying why he needs to come here instead of other teams and leave the Philadelphia Eagles and make one of the first big splashes in NFL free agency. And so Tom says, you know, after 25 years and two Super Bowls and constantly winning your division, why would you mess with that recipe? To me, though, the difference between Bob Harlan and Mark Murphy is Mark is more of a football guy than Bob was in 1991, 1992. Right. Played the game, has been an athletic director, made those hires, and things have changed and evolved. And here's how Murphy explained why specifically. I mean, this has not really affected what a head coach does in Green Bay. It's splitting the job of general manager between Russ Ball, your vice president of finance, who's done this for two or three different teams. He's a former center. He knows football too, but he's really trying to get more into the roster picking stuff and might have been kind of helping out Ted during his, you know, last year or two of struggling there. Why he's splitting the duties of general manager between Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball?
You know, the position really for the last 13 years, the way the position was structured with Ted Thompson, it was really three different titles: general manager, executive vice president, and director of football operations. And it's really been that way for 13 years, and it's very, very broad. It's very difficult for any one person to handle all of those responsibilities. So really looking at it, I decided that it would be in the best long-term interest of the organization to change the structure. And so I split the position, and Brian will be our general manager. He'll have all roster decisions, including the draft, the 53-man, the 90-man roster, free agency, and Russ Ball will take over the other aspect. He'll be the executive vice president and director of football operations. Really, in a lot of ways, recognizing what Russ has been doing for years. He handles most of the administrative aspects of the role, has been a key person for us for many, many years. And so I really think that that made a lot of sense. And he'll continue to oversee all of our salary cap and contract negotiations. And I think this new structure will help, but for this to be very successful, I think the key is going to be all of us working together.
So, and I've said this before, I understand. Some people think it was an overreaction, but I understand because fans sit here and say, you should have known this thing about Ted 2 years ago. You should have got. Well, now you got a guy saying, I want to be more involved. I want to know what's going on. I don't want to be kept out. I don't want this, quote, silos to be built. I don't want to just run business. I want to make sure I've got my finger on the pulse. So, therefore, I'm going to wrap my arms around it. And now people say, well, you're too involved. Well, you can't have it both ways.
Well, and, of course, this is the week where Ted is inducted into the Team Hall of Fame. And then on Wednesday, he puts out the statement that says, yes, I'll confirm this now. I have been dealing with this nerve disorder. We've gone to the Mayo Clinic. We've gone to the doctors, Dr. John Gray, team physician. I've gone to other physicians. I've gone to Frederick, the medical college in Wisconsin. And, you know, at some point, Mark Murphy and I sat down and said, I need to step away from the responsibilities. And, you know, there's people in this story in the Journal Sentinel that talk about, you know, this goes back more than just a year or two. This goes back maybe as far as 2015, you know, when he couldn't do the job the way he did it before, Ted, all right? So Murphy then was asked, so when you talk about these silos, does anything have to do with the fact of Ted's declining health and other people, too many cooks in the kitchen, as they're trying to, you know, keep Ted in his chair?
Yeah, I can't, no. I think, you know, it wasn't just Ted. I think it's been the organization. You know, we've had the same structure for a long time. And I think, you know, that some of those silos have been in place probably well before Ted. And I think this will be, in my mind, a very positive mood.
Yeah, and that, what he's saying is there should be more communication between some of these departments, that because we set it up one way under Ron Wolf, that there were things falling between the cracks year after year. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. So Murphy puts in this new structure just, you know, a few months ago, right? And so, you know, the average listener says, you guys, they haven't even gotten through their first season with a new head coach. Well, here's where it falls through the cracks. Matt LaFleur is your new head coach. First thing this guy does is, I got to get a special teams coordinator. I looked at the film of the Packers. The special teams stunk. And if you just saw the Super Bowl, besides great defense, I've talked about this before, the special teams display that the Patriots and the Rams put on both teams in terms of field position and putting the other team, you know, deep in their end zone was outstanding. I mean, it was jaw-dropping when I was there watching that game in Atlanta saying, this is a whole new level I've never seen in Green Bay in a long time, and this is what the Packers need to do in that third phase in terms of field position. Matt LaFleur went the Dolphins special teams coach, Darren Rizzi. Of course, the Dolphins have struggled, but they've always had good coverage on special teams. They've played tough on special teams. This Rizzi guy, he got hired by the late Tony Sperano in 2010. He survived three head coaches. Joe Philbin kept him. Adam Gase kept him. Mm-hmm. The interim coaches kept him. But after this latest round where they're going to, you know, they're moving, bringing in the Patriots, Brian Flores as a new head coach from New England, Rizzi says, okay, it's time to move on. So he gets the call from Matt LaFleur, hey, man, come to Green Bay. Come to Green Bay. So he before he gets on the plane to Green Bay, he calls him, says, I'll come, but listen, I'm special teams coach. I've been through three coaches. I'm also the assistant head coach here in Miami. I want 3 years and $4.5 million guaranteed. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, come on up. He comes to Green Bay. He interviews with LaFleur for 2 days. And then, according to Rizzi, he's told it's not going to be $4.5 million. Deal's off. See ya. Gets on the plane because now Sean Payton is calling him down in New Orleans. Now, Mark Murphy says, no, no. Before he left, we matched that deal. 3 years, 4.5. Whatever the case, this guy goes is now with the New Orleans Saints. Now, maybe part of it is he says to himself, hey, look, I can get what I'm asking for, and I'm in a more stable situation with Sean Payton and Drew Brees instead of this drama with Aaron Rodgers and a new head coach coming in that's unproven and all those kinds of things. Maybe that's part of the deal, but did Russ Ball screw this up? I mean, is this, you know, where once I, you know, LaFleur says, I got to have this guy. Let's not mess this thing up. That's one of the things that they talk about in this story that you need to consider.
It's, again, the question is, did Russ Ball screw this up? And if so, what does that do to Matt LaFleur? You know what I mean? If you're already kind of making your new head coach.
He's got Sean Menenga, guys who got 6 or 7 years as the assistant special teams coach for the Cleveland Browns and some college experience before that. But that's not the guy that you wanted.
Right.
You know, so there's these stories like the one that was in the Bleacher Report from Tyler Dunn on the split between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy and the other kinds of dysfunction. So Brett Favre was asked about this. Look at, you know, Matt LaFleur coming in here and now trying to get Aaron Rodgers back on track. And so Favre was asked, you know, what's your advice for this situation as the new coach comes in to work with Aaron Rodgers?
I think it's unfortunate, but I don't think it'll affect what will happen in the future, especially while Aaron is still a quarterback. There's absolutely no doubt that he's probably the most dynamic player in the game right now, maybe ever. What a playmaker. And, you know, any coach that will attempt to coach him has to tread lightly, because you don't want to take away what he does so well, which is a lot of good things, and handcuffing, and say, okay, well, I'm a reining in, and I'm going to do this. And I'm not saying Mike did that. I'm not saying that the new coach will do that. But I'm just saying you got to let him play. I will say this. One of the things I agree on in that article is they really should have won more. For whatever reason, they didn't. They were that good, and they had the best player in the game. I just felt like they should have won more.
See, that's what everybody in the league, including Brett Favre, is asking. I mean, they had some good teams. Why did they keep coming up short?
Yeah.
And they had some opportunities there where you had people like Mark Trestman running the Bears and Jay Cutler. I mean, that was a clown car for 2 or 3 years. That's an open – those are just gimme gives, you know, winning your division to get to where you need to go.
Yeah.
How do you blow these opportunities? How do you see teams come and go like the Seahawks and the 49ers and all these other teams – use you as the welcome mat to the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, and you can never get to the next level. So then Favre was asked, what about Aaron? What about Aaron Rodgers? And, you know, you were 35, 36. Packers take a quarterback, 24th overall in the first round, the 21-year-old kid. Now Aaron's the same age as you were that year. And, you know, you hear these stories that Aaron is pulling back a little bit from the locker room and connecting with his teammates.
Well, I think Aaron's finding out now, because he and I have talked numerous occasions, and he was here at my house this past summer doing a documentary. So we had a lot of time to reflect. And he's really at the stage now where I was when he came in to Green Bay. And now he sort of sees why I sort of did the things that I did and was a little bit more reclusive than younger players. I think as you get older, you're a little bit more guarded, maybe a lot more guarded, for reasons like this. You know, I don't think I went through it as much, maybe, or as in detailed as it is right now. But yeah, when I left Green Bay, you know, there was a lot of daggers being thrown both ways. And, you know, as I look back, you know, time heals a lot of things, but I don't know if there's a whole lot of good that comes out of the daggers.
What? That's Brett being Brett right there.
Well,
it starts out saying basically Aaron's now understanding what I was going through.
That, you know what? You get to be 35, 36, and your roster's not getting any better. You're not getting the help that you need. You see teams like the Vikings come in with all these great free agents on the offensive line, on defense, and then they draft a kid like Adrian Peterson in the backfield. Like, oh, look at the weapons over there. Look at the weapons over there. And then you go over there a year later and you prove it. You know, this is what I needed around me in Green Bay, people, in order to get the next level. And, of course, you know, you throw it away and an interception. And, Paul Allen goes nuts, but he's essentially saying is, I know where he's at. I know that Aaron's at a point now where you start saying too much to some of these teammates, and it's going to end up somewhere on the internet.
Yeah, and in addition to that, he's also thinking to himself, should he or should he have not left the way he did? Because you want to go win, because you know the window's closing. I think that's what he's starting to hint at. Yeah. You want to go win, and if you're not going to get it here, let me go get it somewhere else. Yeah. But as he said, I don't think anybody looked any better after the daggers were thrown. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We have more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Like I said, I just feel like I fit in with a lot of it. I feel like we have a lot of smart talented football players just on this team, on this defense, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like I kind of fit that more. I feel like my brain is what really stands out. So like I said, I'm just ready to come in and contribute in any way possible.
Welcome back. Those are the words of the new safety, Darnell Savage, of your Green Bay Packers. This portion of the program being brought to you by good friends over there at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joining us here in studio, Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio and our Green and Gold Insiders. So, Michael, we've looked at kind of the organization.
Brain stands out, Bill.
His brain stands out. My brain doesn't stand out. Falls down a lot.
Mine neither.
Doesn't really stand out, but... So you've got some of the young guys coming in. We talked a little bit about Rashawn Gary earlier in the program and him getting 52 and now being in Clay. But they didn't waste any time there. Clay Matthews' locker, they gave that away, everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, which I knew the locker had to be given away, but the 52 right away I thought was rather interesting. But Darnell Savage, he's ready to go. He's chomping at the bit, isn't he?
Watching tape of this guy, and you know, you're watching the Maryland Terrapins and their secondary spread out, and it seems like they got things in coverage. And all of a sudden, if a guy cuts over the middle, there's this blur that comes out of nowhere out of the screen, and it's number 26, or no, number 4, actually, at there. Darnell Savage, the speed is unbelievable how he closes. They were playing Texas. A kid got free, I think a tight end, down the left hash. He's wide open. He's got his hand up. Ball's in the air, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, out of the screen, comes this blur. He closes within 5 yards of this guy. Coming out of nowhere, gets his hands up to flex the ball, puts it in the end zone. That's why they got this guy, how fast he can play the ball and close. And when he got to Green Bay, I asked him, did you go to the equipment manager, Red Batty, did he assign the number 26 jersey to you?
No, I got to pick it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I actually wore 26 in college as well. So my first 2 years, then I took number 4. But obviously you can't wear 4
right.
at DP. So.
You can't wear 4 here either.
No, I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, can't wear 4 in Green Bay.
Anyway. No.
So then, well, what's the story about number 4? This is pretty cool. Darnell Savage gets recruited and goes to Maryland. And as a freshman, for some reason, a guy 2 years older than him, a defensive back, Will Likely, takes to the kid. Hey, come over here, buddy. Let me show you this. Starts showing all kinds of technique, helping him out. And then, guess what? Will Likely goes down with a torn ACL. So Darnell Savage changes his jersey to number 4, which was what was Will's number, and plays in his place. And that's how he got his opportunity at Maryland. And he talked about that story.
So I had pretty much a big brother to me, you know, when I got to school, and he just kind of took me under his wing and just taught me a lot, you know what I'm saying? And you can respect a guy that is willing to maybe sacrifice some of his time and stuff that he has going on in order to help this little young freshman, you know what I'm saying? So that's my big brother. I still talk to him this day. I really look up to him. And it was kind of like a passing of the torch. So it was a great opportunity.
So Darnell Savage goes in the first round. The Packers trade up to 21 to have him play safety for the Green Bay Packers. Will Likely, coming back from the ACL, he's in the CFL right now.
In the meantime, you've got other guys that are up in camp, and a lot of these draft choices all looking to make some type of an impact. There is some connections. Obviously, Luke Getsy coming back. You've got a guy like Elton Jenkins, now the center, offensive lineman, if you will, a guard maybe for this. I mean, I like the draft. We were talking about this earlier, Mike, that this is a draft that it may not yield a bunch of starters, but you have now got depth at a lot of positions, something you needed, and you've got choices.
Yeah, I think the more I get to talk to these guys, too, the more I feel better about a lot of pieces to the puzzle were added and needs were filled, like Jake Sternberger, the Texas A&M tight end, 6'4", 4.7 speed. You know, you watch his tape, and the kid's got that big paw up over on the left hash mark, you know, open. And then once he gets the ball, man, he goes. He gets 15 yards every time. He's hard to slow down.
His coach was on with us last week and telling us he's extremely smart, too, as far
really?
As getting it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm hoping that holds true, because then you need a good route runner and a guy that can come in and kind of be quick enough to, because he's not going to be a starter right away, but he can be quick enough maybe to get on the same page with Aaron Rodgers and at least get some of a first year under his belt and then become the guy next year.
So I talked to Jace out of Texas A&M. I said, are you known for yards after the catch?
Yeah, I think that's just one of the things. You know, I grew up playing small town 8-man football. It was like speed option, so like I'm just kind of used to running with the ball. And you know, as I've got bigger, a little stronger and faster, it's just kind of got to put all the ingredients together. So it's definitely it's one of my favorite things to do. Is
I mean, nothing fancy, but over the middle, if they could find a spot, you could see that the Aggies would scheme him to get in it. Or in the flats, if the quarterback is everything's looking to the right, and everything's covered, quarterback knows he can just stop, plant, look back over. And there's Big Jace in the left flats. Nice. That's 15, 20, 30-yard gain. Now, I thought this was an interesting answer. I said, so here you come in. It's just 1 year at Texas A&M, and you played at junior college before that. You left Kansas State because you didn't agree with the offensive coordinator. But it's worked out. You get picked up in the third round by the Packers. But here you come in with two guys like Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis. But this probably makes the learning easier for you, right?
I think it makes the job harder because you have such an expectation to try to live up to. Because, like I said, you have two greats who've been doing it for a long time, and it's a, you know, in college. I mean, in me, like I consider myself pretty good, and if someone was to come in and, you know, not pick up the slack or, you know, not push himself, then, you know, I would have been a little offended. So, you know, I'm holding myself to that expectation here. You know, I don't want to let those guys down. Whether it's from the practice field, that, you know, even if I do get a chance in a game, you know, I don't want to let anyone down. So, you know, I feel like I got to hold myself to a higher standard, and I can't let them down.
Everything that's been said, we were talking about this earlier when we heard from Rashawn Gary, everything that's been said has been right. You know what I mean? It's like there's not a lot of guys talking me and I. There's a lot of guys that come in with the right, you know, attitude. Now, what attitude equates to actually wins and losses and terrific play on the field, I don't know. I mean, you hope that there's a Hall of Famer in this draft class. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's a certain amount of coaching up agents could do before and after the combine, et cetera. But at the end of the day, man, it's the tape. They've been watching you since you were in high school with some of these guys. And then, you know, you put them in front of the media and ask questions. They seem to be pretty solid Green Bay Packers character kinds of picks. All right, so we get inside the Hudson Center. Brand new turf everywhere. Brand new field markings. Change the look of the field and change the atmosphere. You got music constantly playing.
This is from in your car with the top down the other day, correct?
Oh, yeah. This is in my CD deck, yeah.
Yeah.
This is on my phone. The thing is, it's not just during the TV timeouts or the water breaks. It's constantly playing now. That's a song called Boss Life, yeah.
Boss Life.
WFN Lucci featuring Offset. I had to have somebody here in the office look that up for me.
Okay.
But what you see
the
is...
The fact that you're still playing it on CD, though, is impressive.
I go deep when I cover the Packers
here.
Yes,
you do.
What you see is number 22, the running back out of Notre Dame. He is constantly dancing with those tunes playing on the overhead speakers inside the Hudson.
Yeah, that's just my style of play. I'm cool, coming, collective, and I always like to have fun. I feel like that's just a little part of my game, the juice that I bring to the game, just always being hype, always finding a good vibe, bringing other people, celebrating, all that. I feel like that's just me. That's just how I play football. I talk to all the guys. Everyone is cool. I'm building relationships with them now. We talk every day, and we constantly push each other each and every day.
Now, 4-5 speed, but I'll tell you, man, number 22 in your Packers uniform, when you watch the tape of him playing for Notre Dame, if he gets past the linebacker, there was nobody from Stanford, Virginia Tech, or USC that could catch this dude. And so far, the time he spent in Green Bay looking at Matt LaFleur's scheme and what he wants to do with the run, he says this is exactly what he hoped for if he got picked up by an NFL team.
I feel like it was meant to be. I feel like this is the perfect place for me. The offense-wise, it was similar to what we were running in the Senior Bowl, so a lot of things I was comfortable with. I'm still learning, going over a lot of the plays with my running back coach, just taking time out to go out with other guys, the other running backs that is here, to go over the plays with them. But other than that, I'm doing just fine with the playbook.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. Mike Clemens in studio. Hang in there. More of the Bill Michaels Show. Final segment of the week coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels show. We are on the air. We are glad you're on board today. Final segment of the program before we send you off for the weekend. And you've got Brewers baseball this weekend down in Chicago. No Bucks basketball. And by the way, the announcement is no Milwaukee basketball hour this upcoming week because of the weird schedule, and the Bucks have to wait a while. So no Milwaukee basketball hour this week. But this coming week, but look forward to return in the following week, the week of the 20th. So I just want to make sure you know that programming note. No Milwaukee basketball hour this upcoming week. I know some of you want to ride the wave, but the Bucks are going to be getting ready for the Eastern Conference Finals. So we'll touch base after that gets underway. Joining us here in studio, Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. How you been? Doing good?
Yeah, you know, okay. I just looking at the defensive needs, I think the world of Blake Martinez.
Yep.
How he gets smarter every year. He's your leading tackler every game. He played well in big games. He played through an ankle injury, after the Patriots game. And A.J. Hawk, man, you know, franchise leader in tackles. I mean, at least this is a guy who's smart inside. You can put a radio helmet on. He can run your defense. Well, I think they got a guy like that that can compete or at least back up Blake at some point with the 7th-round pick. Ty Summers, linebacker, very smart football-savvy kid from Texas Christian University for the Horned Frogs. And, you know, we're talking about to him about the fact that, you know, he came out of playing quarterback when he was in high school. And the switch that he had made when he got to TCU, when they said, you know what, we're going to put you a linebacker because you're kind of built like a Tebow guy. And, you know, really, let's put those broad shoulders in there. Here's what you talked about.
I mean, I had a pretty physical mindset as a quarterback. If you already see any of my film, I ran for like 36 touchdowns, almost 2,000 yards. Like, I was a really physical guy. So that mentality didn't change much, but obviously the scheme of just football. I mean, having to go from, you know, having the football and throwing it and handing it off to having to chase it, that's obviously a different approach. But I feel like I learned a lot at TCU through the multiple coaches that spent time with me. And they made the process relatively smooth.
Now, the downside on Ty Summers, torn labrum on the left, torn labrum on the right. So he had both shoulders done, but he's been okay for the last season and a half or two when he was with TCU. And I said to him, so, you know, now you're over there on the other side of the ball as a linebacker. You know, Clay Matthews would always tell you, you start off before the snap doing what? You key on the quarterback, the quarterback's eyes before the snap. Is that your attitude, you know, or your progression just before the snap of the football?
I'm looking for his eyes, looking just natural progressions, kind of seeing what he's looking at first, second, third. That way when it comes down to it, because I mean, I understand route combinations, having been a quarterback, obviously at the next level in the NFL, they're going to throw all sorts of different stuff at you. But at least at the college level, I was able to kind of predict that a little bit based off my knowledge of what I'm looking for as a quarterback. So I try to bait things from time to time if I could. But I had responsibilities to play a vertical of a number two receiver and also play in the B gap for the run every single play. So I had a lot that I had to do, and I feel like that's why I appreciate my time at TCU, because I had to learn to have a multiple responsibilities in one play, and I was forced to execute it to perfection. Otherwise, I wasn't going to play. So it was a good atmosphere to grow in.
I mean, that conversation went on for 20 minutes, Bill. This
right.
He's smart, man.
He is real smart.
And then these aren't like, you know, standard pat answers he's had in interviews, because we're throwing all kinds of different things. What about that university? What do you think about, I mean, he's breaking down film and can tell you everything about everybody and NFL linebackers he's watched.
Right.
Good stuff. So last Saturday night, Ted Thompson's Hall of Fame induction, and they were bringing back former players like quarterback Lynn Dickey, another number 12. And they brought in Lynn to talk about the 1985 Snow Bowl at Lambeau Field against Steve Young and the Buccaneers. A foot of snow before the game starts on that Sunday, December 1st, 1985. During the game, another 5 or 6 inches. You couldn't see more than about 10 or 15 yards ahead of you. And the Packers still managed to rack up over 500 yards in that game. And Lynn Dickey talked about what it was like pregame on that day, the Snow Bowl at Lambeau Field.
I'm warming up, and the snow was bad enough, but the wind was blowing 25 miles an hour out of the north. So I always warmed up into the wind because I figured I could throw it downwind, no problem. So I'm throwing it into the wind, playing catch with Paul Kaufman as he's laying over there doing snow angels while I'm trying to throw it to him. And Bob Schnelker, our offensive coordinator, walks over and says, how are you spinning the ball into the wind? I went, really no problem at all. Cause I would take the ball and I'd throw it in the snow and I'd pick it up real fast to simulate a snap. And it really didn't bother me. He goes, well, good, because we're going to just throw the devil out of it. I said, really? You know, the wind's blowing really hard, and it's snowing very hard. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but He goes, yeah, but our guys know where they're going. Our receivers know where we're going, and the D-backs don't. Okay, let's wing it. So opening play of the game, when they kicked off to us, James Lofton's out on my left side. He does a little 12-yard hook. I go back, I hit James, he does a little curlicue, and the guy slips, whoosh, boom, hits the ground. James takes off, he's 88 and out the gate. First play of the game.
So the Packers rack up 512 yards, 31 touchdowns, and the Bucs only have 65 yards total offense and five first downs. And as Lynn says, Steve Young's in the Hall of Fame and I'm not. What's going on here?
Lynn Dickey was probably, in the Packers' lore, one of the most underrated quarterbacks ever to play the game.
And the pictures from that game, they used to market Sports Illustrated for the next 15 years.
Yeah, no
awesome
doubt.
Pictures.
Good stuff, Michael.
Thank
have a good
Bill.
Weekend.
Thank you, pal.
And for all you mothers out there, have a joyous and happy Mother's Day. Time for us to go. Have a go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.